slurp of this tasty craft beer as we get ready for the new year. Happy New Year, everybody. This is the perfect pour.
Welcome to the Perfect Pour. Once again, hey. We have returned.
Yes.
We're back. And we have craft beer.
We're back with beer. Well, the Perfect Pour, the craft beer podcast. I'm Mikey.
I'm Nick.
The Met.
And we're pretending like we didn't just mess up, or I didn't just mess up our first try at recording this.
This is a brand new episode.
Yeah, what brand new.
Yeah, third calendar year, and first day into it.
Huh?
Well, wouldn't it have been December of 2012, and then 2013, and now we're 2014.
Okay.
So all third right. calendar year.
Good one. That's way too advanced for me to think up right now.
We're still working off last night's.
Unfortunately, I made the bad decision to have a record a beer podcast right after the biggest drinking night of the year. New Year's, and so I'm dragging pretty bad. Matt seems fine.
Yeah.
Chugging along. He's a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was drinking Mount Whitney's last night, so I was minding my percentage.
You're doing just drinking pails.
We went big last night. There was some roots on our table.
I went way too big on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I had the bad thing. There's usually always some sort of either I have to get up in the morning for work or for the kid or for both. So I have a regulator I'm like, all right, that's enough drinking. But for New Year's,
kicked the governor off, huh?
Didn't have we had a babysitter for a kid. So
nice.
There was, and we didn't have to drive. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I had no governor on.
took the restrictor plates off.
Yep, the restrictor plates are off.
Recipe for disaster.
I'm feeling it. 24 hours later, still not right.
Suffering.
And what did it were two growlers of local craft beer.
Ooh, where did you get these local growlers?
Friend Derek went through Turlock and got a growler of the therapist featured on our last episode.
More commonly known as?
28, from Dust Bowl Brewing. He didn't even listen to the Perfect Pour or anything, but he just still stopped because I was telling him about Decibel. So
he knew who they were. No idea.
I told him where. And then, because he was in Sacramento for a day or two, and I told him, oh, you got to go get me some Track 7 or something. And he was just there for like a day and a half. He didn't want to go rooting around Sacramento on Christmas Eve for beer. So
there's a good chance nobody would have been there.
That's true. But he did get the growler of the therapist, and then I got a growler of our special Tioga's new growler of their IPA, the citrus IPA.
Fresh.
Good
out
choice.
Of the crates. Yep.
So we went through that, and then we went through the therapist, that was... Whew.
Yeah.
You forget how strong the therapist is because the alcohol is pretty masked. So, needless to say, it was, I don't remember much. I vaguely remember midnight.
Nice.
It's 12. What does that mean?
I mean, I was completely awake. I just don't remember so much of it.
Giving a big old kiss to the dog.
I don't know what happened really. I'd prefer no one to tell me either. I'd rather not know.
We look at these pictures once.
Yeah, exactly. There are pictures that I wish were erased. But unfortunately, they're going to come back to haunt me, I think.
Oh, yes.
We got into a double DBA last night.
Yeah.
Pretty tasty. I missed that one when it was released back in the summer. It was good. I liked that one this year.
That one doesn't do anything for me.
No?
No.
The regular DBA I'm not a fan of, but the double DBA is pretty good. Nice barrel-aged flavoring.
Mm-hmm.
Natural flavors. But we paired that with an Alesmith. And Alesmith. their Grand Cru, which
Grand Cru.
Yeah,
I heard of that one.
Belgian-y kind of light and heavy on the carbonation, but that one was double DBA is like 12%, and then this one's another 10%.
Oh,
mixed in with some tequila.
Whoa!
What?
Mixed in with?
Yeah.
You put the tequila in there, or you just had tequila shots?
Beer shot.
Tequila shot.
They just kept showing up.
Ugh! Oh my god!
Man.
I'd really not. They would have definitely had to cancel this podcast if I did that.
So that made things interesting, and there was a Red Bull and vodka involved at one point.
Oh,
I didn't even know.
Whew. Fiery.
Fire.
Fire and here the kid of the bunch, Matt, was just drinking some pails and went home. Yep. Quietly went home.
Slow and steady.
Well, when I went home, I switched over to Sherman's.
You went at it, and then.
Yeah.
There's nothing like knowing you don't have to drive anywhere to open up the gates to drinking.
Yep.
So we had, before we started here, the first thing we had was a Montana brewer. You got special delivered?
Yes. I was a couple of cases of the Kettleman House Scotch Ale called Cold Smoke arrived into Fresno right around Christmas time. And I was one of the chosen ones to receive a couple of cans of it. And Scottish Ales and Scotch Ales are moving up on the list of beers I like currently. So I was happy to see that come into my hands.
Nice.
It's been thorough.
This was tonight. Was this the first you had it?
Or
you had
negative. I've already enjoyed the other can of it.
Okay. So. Well, it's nice you saved us a can.
Yeah.
And then we moved on to a 21st Amendment sneak attack saison.
Saison.
And I think we're still having that, right? Is that what we're still having?
No.
We moved on.
Oh, okay.
Twin.
Now we've got the evil twin. So now we're caught up. Now we're trying this evil twin.
Aptly named for the season.
Dick.
What do you have to say? It's an imperial stout.
It's Christmas Eve at a New York City hotel room. That's the name of it.
Actual name of the beer.
Imperial stout. 10%.
Yes.
And I wouldn't say it. Yeah, it doesn't. I don't.
It's mellow.
Not smelling like a 10%.
No, it's mellow. It's roasty still, but nothing's over the top, which is sometimes all right. You don't need a full on, stacked beer that's like kicking your palate left and right.
If you want to see the full lineup we have on for this episode as options, look on our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect Pour Pod on Instagram.
Yes.
And there's a little, 8-second video clip of the lineup we have. So there. Now we're caught up. And so now the new year, we didn't get a chance to talk about what your guys' beer of 2013 was, your favorite beer you had. Of 2013.
The favorite.
The number one ranked.
Number one.
Craft beer of 2013.
Is?
For me, it's.
All at once, let's say it. No, just kidding.
Oh, I was ready. For me, Double Dry Hop General Sherman IPA.
Coming in at the top.
At number one.
I had the most.
And that's in a year where I had. Quite a few Pawnees too.
Ooh, oh, but that's right.
I just overall.
This was a heavy year.
I'm going for the DDH as my number one beer this year for 2013. So, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to look forward to in 2014. I can't think of something specific I want to have that I haven't had yet. I'm trying to think. I can't.
You've tried them all. In other
words, no.
Everything has been done.
Not even.
It's all been done.
Scratch the surface.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about future beers.
Something I want out there. But, actually, okay.
Oh.
Something from that little San Diego's Russian River Alpine.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much anything from Alpine. I've not tried anything from Alpine. But I know their IPA is supposed to be really good, so.
Yeah, I've only had the collab they did for the Lips of Faith series, which was, it was still really good, even though it was a, I don't know how much collaboration it was, if they just took all their stuff and brewed it on a big system, or if New Belgium had some influence, but man, really strong, really like kick-ass hoppy IPA. That was a good one.
So that's for me.
Alpine.
So, Nick, what would you say was your beer last year? Your favorite thing you had last year?
Favorite. Can't wait to find more of it. Oak-aged Yeti by the Great Divide.
You hear that, listeners? Nick would like an oak-aged Yeti.
Oh.
He will try.
Yes. But that's not my future beer. Although I will be looking for more. That'd be neat if we got more Great Divide in Fresno.
That's one that hasn't really gotten into the market, really.
And it's well known around here. Anytime you drop that name, they write, Yeti. You tried the Yeti?
Yeti.
Yeah.
It's an awesome label, too. It's one of those ones where the label and the beer match up. Like you always say how a nice label usually equals a bad beer. But that.
So I tried the complete opposite. I picked the crappiest label, and it was actually one of the best beers. Even it was even highly rated on like Beer Advocate. The Cismontaine. Their Blacks Stout. Was it Blacks? Yeah. Really good beer, and the label's just plain. Looks like homemade on your dot matrix printer. Plain. I mean, it was regular. But the beer was kick-ass, and I looked it up. I was like, oh, I'm crazy. And everyone else thought the same thing. Just really good Java coffee stout. Anyways, back to past, present, and future. I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on a Founders, the KBS.
What is that?
Kentucky Breakfast Stout.
Oh.
This one has been taunting me on Instagrams for the last year.
Every time you see something.
Every time it gets released, and the next 40 pictures you see are of this beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those beers.
That's my looking forward to. I'm going to hunt one down.
Yeah. Well, it's out there now. Maybe it'll come back to you somehow.
Bow hunt it Nugent style. Yeah, it's going to be a good year, 2014. Yeah. Year of the stouts. I'm getting heavier into stouts.
Matt, what do you got? What was your beer of the year?
Well, I divided it into category.
Oh, wow.
So something that came to me that was very good and light, Bitter American. Quite a few of those were enjoyed this year. As far
that
as
was a good one this year.
Hoppy, I can say the Double Wide. That was something that I came across.
Oh,
the Boulevard.
Boulevard Brewing,
Kansas City Brewer.
Opened up.
Huh.
Close behind that would be the Hoptimum, Sierra Nevada. That All was right. one where I said, okay, Sierra Nevada did right with this.
You know? Yeah, that is a good one.
If we move over to a brown ale, is something I've gotten away from more recently in, you know, embarking on my craft beer journey. But Dust Bowl is able to make a good brown ale that I'm able to revert back in time and enjoy a good brown ale. As far as a beer that used to not be a category, 21st also gets another mention for their Back in Black. I love black IPAs that comes in a 12-ounce can. It's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. It is a good black coffee.
As far as the best aged thing I've had this year would have been the Velvet Merkin.
That one was good this year.
Have not found anything quite that good yet. I mean, to be better than that.
It was impressive how good it was for being the first year they bottled it, too.
Yeah. So, as far as what I would like to see, little known fact, this year, Tioga actually received some barrels to age in. And we're actually piloting, or full scale size, but piloting our Russian Imperial Stout.
Nice.
So a barrel aged Russian Imperial Stout is probably going to happen within reasonable time. So.
Sweet. Something now just be on tap for Growlerfields, or could be bottled?
Depends how much we do.
Yeah.
Could go either way.
Nice. Like to see something new get bottled.
Yeah.
From Tioga.
So, it's kind of what I've seen and what I'm looking forward to.
And then hopefully that long discussed tap room will open for Tioga 2014.
Had somebody corner me about that.
Corner you?
Yeah.
Look.
There's been so many
son of a bitch.
Yeah. And I was just like, no, they're truthful. If they actually broke ground, it would take 3 months for it to finish. That has never been a lie.
Right.
It's just when that actually happens.
Soon. Maybe.
Possibly, but maybe soon.
But if it turns out to be the building that they rumored a while back, I can vouch that the water being turned onto that building is like this close. So it's some, you know, retrofitting had to be done, and that got done. So it's looking positive.
Right.
I'm hoping after the holidays are over, things kind of get their ass in gear.
Yeah. So there you go. Was that, what, did you have anything else or
no,
on the beers? Okay. It was a good year for craft beer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
2013. I mean, locally and nationally. I mean, maybe it's just because we've been doing this, but it feels like this was like the most active year ever for craft beer was 2013. And like more mainstream, more success than failures as far as breweries opening.
Yeah.
And and that's been reflected like locally too. Fresno's, in the past year we've been doing this, Fresno's gotten better. I mean, in this year, did Spokeasy open in 2012?
Yeah, it was 2012.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But Das Beer House opened this year, the 2013.
Yep.
So that was something, and they both seem to be doing well. Mm-hmm. Like there was a little bit of worry once Das opened that maybe Spokeasy wouldn't or something. It doesn't seem like they've really affected each other.
Each other's any negatively. Unaffected,
yeah. Yeah. So that's good for Fresno's market.
Yeah, they both do it a little bit differently, I think.
Yeah.
Is what the key is. You know, right. Same, I guess you could call it same product.
Das is a bottle house.
Yeah.
Bottle shop. And
then up north, there's the Fort. That place has been kicking ass. Oh, yeah. Something that's open in 2013.
Yeah. Fort's been doing well. They keep getting more different stuff that you don't see in anywhere else in town. So that's impressive. Then we're going to have House of Pendragons this year. We're going to have a new tap room. The Fresno's Taint. Taint section.
Taint section.
Louis-Nice.
The Flovis area.
Flovis.
The melding of two communities.
I heard a rumor at the end of January. We'll probably start seeing them on draft again. Heard the three beers might be.
Oh, they haven't been out there right now because you've been too busy, probably.
It's been a dry spell for them, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Did we talk about the Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it went through. Yeah, I think we mentioned that it went through and stuff. So,
yeah, I kept him really busy focusing. Yeah, on. He was doing all the marketing.
Kickstarter and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a good. All success. Everything successful. I did a lot of Eureka Burger this year.
You did.
A lot.
Probably took a break. I did not do as much as 2012.
Yeah. Yeah, we go probably too much because I go so much that nothing really changes out too much when I go in. Seems like.
Becoming regular.
Yeah.
It's so boring.
Seem to be the same still. Yeah. And that's kind of happened to me too at Yard House too. Where it hasn't been much change over there, but they don't do very much change over there.
No, in fact, the list, we went last Saturday, I think, and it looked pretty much the same from when we were there in November. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A few new seasonals, you know, they added the Anchor Christmas, and they had a good IPA list, which was kind of surprising for wintertime. You think they'd change it up.
Oh, yeah, they did have that up there, yeah. That was kind of weird.
We have a second BevMo now.
Yeah.
Which I feel, now that I've seen the second one, I feel like the first one we got ripped off.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The second one, the new one's good?
The new one's nice. It's really nice, yeah.
Is there a bigger section, bigger beer section?
Yeah, much bigger. And I had to walk through it twice before I figured out what was going on. They organized it by style instead of alphabetically.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, you know, there's Firestone here and there's Firestone over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's, you know,
okay,
Knee Deep over here and there's Knee Deep
over
there.
Yeah, the Fresno one does do it just by brewer.
Just by brewery, yeah. And this one's done by style.
That's cool. And did you see anything in there that you haven't seen before in Fresno? Or?
No, it was pretty bare. They did have... Oh, they had some Iron Fist, which I hadn't seen in a BevMo before.
Okay.
I've seen it at other places in Fresno, I know it's around here, but I haven't seen it in the Fresno one. And their tasting room, where they do the Friday and Saturday beer and wine tastings, is much cooler.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like a little kitchen.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Looks like they're going to do bigger events at that one.
Nice.
All right. Are we moving on to a new beer here to taste?
Oh, are we lacking? Are we empty? Yes.
To have or... taste.
Mo. Huh? Eeny, meeny, miny.
Mo. Yeah. This one.
Yes. Go for that one.
Mikey's getting excited.
See, this would be if I would have put out, because I've not had a Three Brothers.
Tree Brothers.
And that's one of the brewers I always wanted to have. And look, right off the bat in 2014, for the first time,
it came
getting
to
a Three Brothers. Do you know anything about this one, Nick?
No, I just know it was highly recommended. Guy from the East Coast sent it to me. He said, here, try this. It just came out.
Is he a listener? Or
yeah, something? Justin Clark.
Cool. I think we had email conversations with him.
Yeah, he sent us the Guar beer. And now we've been doing some more trading.
Thank you, Justin.
And
what did you send him?
I sent him a...
Allegedly.
I drove it myself and handled it.
All right, yes.
Yes. He wanted a Velvet Merkin for his collection, and along with some, I snuck in a couple other treats for him.
Nice. Any locals?
Mm-hmm. Well, you could say that. You're a
Firestone local, I guess.
Yeah.
So this is the Three Brothers Hoptimization IPA, I assume.
Doesn't really say anything other than that.
If you're going to have hopped something in your name, then...
It better be an IPA.
Better be an IPA.
Let's get one thing straight here.
That's legal.
This better be an IPA.
So, I'm excited. Three Brothers. Are they Chicago? No. No. Where are they from?
VA. So.
Oh, Virginia?
Virginia.
Where are we getting...
Harrisburg, Virginia.
Oh, Reach has been sending us Three Brothers this whole time.
I know. What's up with that?
God damn it, Reed.
Interesting.
Yeah, some.
See, I liked it because it's got a good malty base. It's not over carbonated. So I was afraid you wouldn't like it. In other words.
Yeah.
It's got that East Coast thing going on.
Yep. It's definitely, I mean, it's crazy how much the East Coast and West Coast have that difference.
Ooh. Yeah, I like
that. It's definitely East Coast IPA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, it's maltier.
Yeah.
Not real, not fruity or piney.
No, which...
definitely more floral than citrus type hops.
Mm-hmm.
Tree Brothers.
If it was a California brewer, I'd be like, what?
They messed it up.
They messed it up, but... For East Coast, it's pretty good.
Join the Brotherhood. It's our tagline. I like this one. I wish we could get
That's
more
a cool
of these
label.
Out here.
I really like that label.
Keep them cold and drink them in glass. Pretty fresh, too. I mean, 10/24 October, so. Not terribly old. Maybe more, a little more hoppy if... You know, fresh off the line, but
yeah, I've been having couple. But I remember when we started this podcast, I think I even asked. I was like, "How can you even tell it's that old or whatever?" But now I think I've gotten to where you can definitely tell when something's old, and especially IPAs.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've had a couple. I had the. Let's see, what was some? I guess we should move on to being caught drinking.
Ooh, right into it.
And I got caught drinking a couple old IPAs that I had to. Ones that I really like, and I had to pour out.
Ooh.
And
see, that's something we never used to do either.
Yeah. I couldn't even finish them. Like a Hoppy Poppy Figueroa Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And
that was one of the favorites.
Oh, yeah. And that was, I think it was from BevMo, and I didn't see the date on it or anything. And that one I didn't pour out. I think I still finished that one, but it was definitely old tasting. Wasn't as good as it normally is. And there was another one from Fig Garden Liquor I got, and I could not finish it. It was just too old.
It wasn't a Stone 16th anniversary.
No. We're going to have that. That's sitting there aging in that fridge.
Aging nicely.
And it was a year old a year ago, so... Now it's really, I'm gonna force you guys to have it.
It's maturing is all.
No, but some other stuff I've been enjoying since the last podcast. Well, we had that party at your house, Nick.
We did.
Did a lot of tasting over there. Oh, had some garage door brewing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that
crafted.
I always have like a beer snobbish on Sam Adams, like, ugh. Because they're kind of annoying. How they are a big brewer, and yeah, but they huge. Want to, they keep, you know, wanting to be still known as a craft brewer, and technically they still are.
I think they were the top brewer again this year.
Oh, yeah?
And they were like at least a million barrels ahead of the next closest guy.
Anything you have usually from them is pretty just kind of okay. I mean, it's pretty, you know, it's not, I don't think they ever put out a bad beer. It's just, sometimes it's just not that great, but I don't really have a lot. But we did have that Juniper IPA at your place.
Oh.
And that was pretty good. I did not,
I
that was
I
a different.
That one.
Oh, you didn't catch it?
I didn't catch it.
But it had, yeah, it was kind of,
oh, I did
it
have
was
that
weird.
One.
It was
yeah,
kind of
we
weird.
Talked about that.
It was, I guess the Juniper, I've never had something with Juniper, but, and it was interesting. I was fairly impressed. By Sam Adams. So, on that one.
They're hit and miss. Sometimes you find some real gems in there. I know their Maple Pecan was a big hit, but you can only get it in their seasonal packs.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Another thing I had was Double Mountain from Hood River, Oregon. Ooh. My favorite Oregon brewer. Even above Ninkasi, I think.
Damn.
Yeah. And my brother-in-law, who's from Portland, works out at Hood River. Before he came down for Christmas, I told him to bring something Oregon. And he brought three different growlers of Double Mountain straight from the brewery. They're like a day old growlers. And we finished them in one night.
Fresh.
And
oh damn, one night.
We had the Kolsch, their Kolsch, and then their vaporizer, which is a pale. And it's really, I wish you guys could have had that one. Try out the vaporizer because it's really interesting. It is not a normal pale tasting. It almost like a tastes like a sour pale.
Wow.
All right.
And it's like
I'm interested.
Yeah.
And he woke up all of a sudden.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, he's awake.
Hey.
And Andy is saying how that's like the big popular one there right now.
Oh, okay.
Is the vaporizer. And then their Ira Red IPA.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, like and a good Red IPA.
And now it's pretty damn good, too. And I'm not as much of a fan of the Reds as you are, but that was damn good. So Double Mountain, man, you got to try Double Mountain if you're out there. Because I think they have stuff, you can find some of their stuff in Portland. In bottles, I think, yeah, but you know, their tap house is actually in Hood River, which is east of Portland.
Nice.
The Sculpin IPA from Ballast Point in San Diego Brewery. I wasn't that fond of it for a long time.
Okay.
I had it a couple times. I was like, meh, it's okay. It's not real great.
Mm-hmm.
But something, I don't know. I've just been clicking lately. I had it at your place, Matt. At Peeves. At Peeves.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, maybe I'm wrong about this. And I was really enjoying it and had it again at Eureka Burger. And it was good then, too. So I'm like, all right, now I'm back on Sculpin IPA.
Yeah, Sculpin's a bit better than they have. Their other one is Big Eye.
Right.
But yeah, Sculpin's been turning out pretty good. it's sad that only so few draft of Ballast Point has made it to town versus their whole catalog. I feel if their catalog was here, they would do a lot better. But I'm happy that at least the Sculpin has made it here and done well.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are some of the interesting beers I've had past few weeks.
Awesome.
Nick or Matt.
So, for Christmas, I had a themed beer. I picked up a Prairie beer back in before New Year's. Not New Year's. My mind is stuck. Before Thanksgiving, it was the ale that saved Christmas. It was an oak-aged old ale, basically. So we got to enjoy that on Christmas Day out at the parents' house. That was nice. Let's see. And there was a Brutality Espresso Black Beer by Midnight Sun.
Wow.
That was actually a pretty good one. I had the cousin's house at Christmas Eve, so that probably came from the fort. My first growler from Tioga that was filled with Cafe Tamarack. It was actually pretty good. We were talking Ballast Point. What also came up with the Sculpin was they had their Piperdown Scottish Ale, and that was actually very good.
Damn.
A little bit similar to the Scotch Ale we had this evening, but the Scottish is just even smoother than a Scotch Ale. So... one that I encourage you guys to find right now is Evil Twin. They do 12-ounce cans every once in a while. People have seen the hipster ale and stuff.
Yeah. But
they have one right now called the Bikini Beer. It's an IPA. Tastes like an extra pale, you know. But it's a 2.7% alcohol IPA. That is the lowest alcohol beer I've ever drinking. With it still being a beer and not a non-alcoholic or anything like that. But yeah, I feel it's kind of like the perfect thing you could, you know.
Yeah, it's a day beer.
Like, I'm, you know, if other beers are, you know, lawn mowing, I'm pretty sure you could, like, trim a tree while drinking this. You know?
You could operate heavy machinery.
Yes.
Lower the alcohol, the bigger the activity. In other words. Yes.
You could drive a school bus, maybe.
An empty one.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, of course. After you've dropped off the children, have a beer.
Have a beer.
Crack open.
Game on.
Probably the fanciest beer that I've seen come through and been able to taste was also at Thanksmas, and that was the Firestone 17th. And that was a nice blend, as you would call it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, that was nice. Nick's, your Thanksmas party.
Yes.
Your annual one.
Annual.
I got to go to this year.
This was our fourth
turned
annual.
Turned into a big bottle share.
Yeah, thankfully.
Yeah.
The kegs did not work out quite as planned. So
we went through a fair amount of them.
Yeah. No, we did, but luckily backups were brought forth.
Lots and lots.
Lots of good beer. That was a great night. Thanks, everyone, for coming.
Yeah. I tried.
The Firestone was on my list as well, this year's anniversary ale, which I was surprised. This year's anniversary ale was rated one of the rarest beers, according to recent survey, which it seems weird. Like, we get Firestone anniversary ales all the time, but apparently it's hard for the rest of the world to get it. So they rated that one of the rarest beers, but it was killer this year.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like...
I mean, it's up there with the same list as Pliny the Younger and Heady Topper.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because it just, yeah, for us, we pretty much get everything Firestone bottled.
It's so
if Firestone
normal.
Puts it in a bottle, we get it here.
Yeah.
And I think we are probably the number one city outside of Paso that gets Firestone.
Yeah.
Even more than the Bay Area does.
Wow.
So I guess we kind of, that's one of our cool, one of our few little cool, unique things we have, I guess.
Yeah.
Cause, yeah, because I know Firestone's everywhere.
It is, and it seems like we talk about it all the time.
So I just kind of assume, well, everybody gets everything from Firestone like we do, right? And you kind of forget, like, not so much outside of California, they get all the options that we get. So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, pretty neat. I like it. The Hairy Eyeball from Lagunitas.
Yes.
Very, very good.
And that's just like an ale.
That's just a big ass ale. It was potent and sharp and just flat out tasty. I had another Founders Harvest Ale, a fresh hop IPA from them.
Oh, like the fresh hop.
I love the fresh hop IPAs. They all have that sweet, smooth hop flavor to them. They don't get overly bitter. Like Mikey likes them. You know, like the Northern Harvest and the Southern Harvest and that we get here quite commonly.
Yeah. That now I think the liquor stores are having trouble getting rid of.
Yeah, a little over-ordered.
Yeah, they're all everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. You can see some estate ales left over from last year. The one IPA that did really impress me, from Barrel House.
Oh.
Which is a fairly new brewery, right?
Paso Robles, Paso.
Oh, Matt's already got swag, apparently.
Oh, Matt has a Barrel House shirt on somehow.
Yep. I know a guy.
I know a guy. We'll have to get somebody from Barrel House
on. I'm behind the times.
On here.
I didn't care for their stout, but their IPA is pretty tasty.
Yes.
Yeah, they're pretty straight. It seems like they're a little straightforward, like on point with their stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's good.
Even their logo.
They're everywhere now. Yeah, in Fresno, they just kind of blew up here all of a sudden. Seems like the Barrel House stuff is everywhere now.
Yeah. That's the thing about them, like you said. Their beers are very hit or miss, but they have such a range of styles that have hit town, you will find something in their catalog that you like.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There
you have it.
All right.
That's
Been Caught Drinking.
We still do beer news?
All right, yes. If you've got something. I didn't research any beer news.
Well, it's kind of like something that's been rolling around for a day or two. So, there's something I came across. It's Exit 6 Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
And they're in St. Louis. Well, they recently had concocted a drink. It was, you take some, let's see, it was a Founders, like breakfast stout, and you add a little bit into, I'm totally choking on this one.
I'll just open another beer while he looks up.
We are
while Mikey edits
something,
this part out.
Yeah, something. Yeah, right. You're opening up something from Mammoth.
Oh,
that is. Whoa! It is dark.
Dark.
I was not expecting that.
A wet hop to be dark.
Something's wrong with this beer. It's gone bad.
It's dark. Huh. Damn it! Why did I get that?
What? What is going on?
So, the base of the story is Founders Breakfast Stout. You mix it in with a little bit of Exit 6's vanilla cream ale. To them, it tasted like a Frappuccino. So about three or four different people checked in Untappd with Frappuccino, with an I, not a Frappuccino. And the owner of Exit 6 Brewery received a cease and desist letter from Starbucks saying that they had invested a lot of time in trademarking the word Frappuccino. And they said that they, for legality reasons and for, you know, peace of mind, that they would feel that if Exit 6 would cease and desist using the word Frappuccino with this drink concoction just so people aren't confused that they're getting Starbucks at a bar. And so the guy wrote a very nice letter in response to it and said, you know, hey, you know, sorry that we spelt the word wrong. Thanks for bringing our attention to that. Second of all, we meant to call it a Frappuccino. And we will now just simply refer to it as the F word. And he then said, well, I tried to call Untappd and have him removed, but you guys already took care of that. And in return, here's an enclosed check of the entire profits that we have notably made off of that drink concoction. So send him a check for $6.
Here's the profits, pals. So
I'll have
the they must really hardcore look at that for them to even notice that.
So yeah,
some untapped check-ins.
Three untapped check-ins and Starbucks legal department, not Starbucks themselves, their legal department, contacted this brewery.
That's insane.
Yeah.
They're like watching more than NSA are, apparently.
Untapped police.
I'll have that link handed over to be posted. It's a very good read.
Yeah, I think I did read that, yeah. We got for our last beer of the podcast, the Mammoth. Will somebody pass that? My arms can't reach the beer. Somebody, please. So I found this in Vons, a local Save Mart, or a local Vons, our local supermarket. If you know Safeway, then you know Vons because it's the same company.
Yeah. I miss Safeway. Their logo is really cool.
We'll just go into Vons.
Oh.
Once you walk in, it's the same.
It's all the same.
It's the same. It is Mammoth Brewing up here in the eastern side of the Sierras. As a crow's fly, really close to Fresno, but in actuality, you have to drive down through Tehachapi and back up again to get there. But Mammoth Brewing's 2013 Owens Valley Wet Harvest Ale. And I just assumed it was not be dark, and it is dark.
It is very dark. Dark as night.
And I saw this in Vons. I've never seen it before. I was like, all right, I have to get that for the podcast.
Yeah, it looks nothing like their traditional labeling.
Yeah, it is different than their
usual
labeling.
Yeah, an Instagram follower, he goes by the handle of Waving Snail. He actually saw our beer lineup photo, and he's like, where did you get that beer? Where did you get that Mammoth?
The Mammoth?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was the Vons on Blackstone.
Yeah. The only one.
Yeah.
Fowler, right?
Oh, I mean, the only one on Blackstone.
Yeah.
There's, what, maybe 3-4 Vons left in
Fresno. Yeah, I know. They've closed a few over the years.
Oh.
Wow.
Shut them down.
That is not what I was expecting at all.
Because he was not wearing pants.
Yep, I wouldn't wear pants to work.
Closing the store down.
What do you think of this, Matt?
There's like quite a bit like coffee taste to it for me. I think wet harvest ale. I think like light hoppy beer, not dark. Dark beery goodness that I could actually see through.
Beery goodness.
Good color, dark, tastes well. I like it. But I need like two more of these to make sure.
You go for it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a reason to go to Vons, everybody.
If it's still there. It's a seasonal release, so.
Ooh. Yeah, it'll still be there.
It's possible it's not there, but it probably will be. But yeah, they opened up over, speaking of cool little things that have happened over this past year. They've opened up their craft beer section a little more of that Vons on Blackstone for bottles, for bombers and stuff. So they've got a little more space. They made more space for craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a cool thing.
Yep.
So I think it's time for cheers.
Cheers.
Yay. Wee. G-g-g-g. We're going to get some professional bumper music for our segments here one day.
Be-de-boo.
Cheers.
Reed? Clink, 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 clink.
Reed, you want to work on that for us? Thanks, Reed.
Everybody knows Thanks your a lot. Name.
Well, over the year, I want to thank the support that Tioga Sequoia has given us.
Yes.
You know, we talk about them a lot, I know, but It's hard not to talk about them, especially since Matt works for them. So, but they really support what we do, and very aware of us, the podcast, and really supportive of us and help us out, and definitely a big cheers to them, but also to Dust Bowl and House of Pendragon.
Those have been nice fellows to
us. Been very good to us as well this year. So just thank you to all the local brewers out there chugging away wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Keep at it. And if you're a brewery out there and somewhere in the country, want us to try your beer, just contact us. And
yeah, we'll be guinea pigs.
Via Gmail.
We have an email.
Twist our arm.
PerfectPourPodcast@gmail.com. But if you go to... We're going to have PerfectPourPodcast.com. You can get to it somehow. But we're buying that domain. So, but anyway, if you just search for the Perfect Pour Podcast on Podbean, it's PerfectPourPodcast.podbean.com right now. But that has all the links, including the email, links to our Facebook, where Nick does a bang up job on the Facebook page. I got to get you the Twitter passwords so you can do some good Twitter stuff. I've been lame on Twitter lately.
What?
Say
it's not true.
And make sure to find us on our Instagram at Perfect Pour Pod and Twitter at Perfect Pour Pod. Also, cheers to Jordan Williams. I saw him filling my Tauga Sequoia growler. I saw him and his girlfriend come in, and he was getting a growler of, I think I was trying to spy what he was getting the sugar pine. And cheers to Scott Bailey. Scott, I've not emailed him back, but he emailed us saying he's got a new beer for us to try that he made. So
nice.
Oh, cool.
Be dropping some beer off for us, I think.
Bring it. Bring it on.
Right on.
So, and just cheers to everyone that listens and supports us, and make sure to give us a review on iTunes if you haven't yet, and thumbs up us on Stitcher if you listen that way.
Yeah.
And just give us some good, nice, nothing beats word of mouth. So you can get someone who's in the beer to listen to us. Highly appreciate it. You gentlemen have any cheers?
But of course.
Yes, but of course.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Facebooks, new followers, we got a Stewie Sloan, who I hear is a regular at the Tioga Sequoia.
Yes.
Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Pearson.
Mm-hmm. A friend.
Possible future guest.
Both of those guys are very knowledgeable in beer.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they like us, so hopefully it's good.
Yeah.
Cheers to, kind of goes back to beer news as well. Cheers to Kim's Bay Brews making her internet TV debut.
Oh, ooh. What was this?
What?
So there's this new thing called Brew Age TV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a documentary on Bay Area craft beer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In like 5 to 10 minute episodes. And they just go around highlighting different breweries. And they highlight the styles that those breweries are known for.
Mm-hmm.
So she was on an episode tasting the different anniversaries of the Christmas ale from Anchor Brewing.
Mm.
With a local, I believe he's a wine and spirits distiller up in the Bay Area. And so she posted a link, and I found that through her, and they got this whole episode, and somehow Discovery picked it up. And so they're doing all these series, and Almanac was featured on one, and I got to go watch them all. There's like 10, I think, so far, of all these different short episodes on craft beer scene.
That's cool.
That's going on.
Take that, Brew Dogs.
Brew Dogs.
I have seen a few more Brew Dogs, too.
Yeah, I've been turning people onto that show, too. So.
And they actually... Oh, sorry.
I was just saying, people started telling me about that, so I guess I have to
Yeah, it's a cool show. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to, I assume there'll be new episodes this year, so.
Hopefully. I liked it so far. Yeah. They rated Alpine one of their top breweries in Southern California. Yeah.
That's cool.
So there you go.
All right.
All right. Well, I've actually had somebody be very interactive with me on Twitter, of all things.
Keep it craft beer related, man. I don't want to know what kind of activity you've been doing. Social media.
He didn't say Snapchat.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Snapchat.
Goes by Lance. I think it's Featherston.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, who's after next is his handle. But he's been very interactive with me on Twitter and whatnot. And we've been talking the beers. And he just said that he recently tried Double Dry Hop. And it is very amazing. So I told him I shed a tear into my beard. And
your beard soaked it up quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty sure that Twitter was invented for people to cry. So there was a connection there. As far as Instagram, somebody to note, Zach in real life, pretty cool craft beer person. Somebody that came out in an interesting story. So me and my brother commonly get confused for each other at all times.
Yeah.
Well, there was a Instagram follower that's been listening to a lot of our podcast named Feminine Flip. And
I guess it wasn't funny, but
I guess it bases if she was a superhero, that would be.
Ah, there you nice. Go.
But she was just like, I'm having trouble on your podcast differentiating you from this other person. I was like, oh, yeah, it's my brother. That's why. We kind of sound the same at times and stuff and mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny. That's it. Three people. That's all
I care to mention. With
that
Richard
was actually. Matt. And that's Nick with Sean Connery.
I am now Sean Connery.
Just talk like Sean Connery from now on, and then
welcome
it'll be a lot
to
easier.
The perfect poor, Trebek. I was with your mother last night. She says hello.
So just cheers, everyone that listens to us, and we'll keep it up this year. See what happens to us.
Yeah. See if we make
happens.
It another year.
We can make it out.
Yep.
Some what interesting thing then craft beer wise is going to happen to the perfect pour.
Oh, can I do one more cheers?
No.
Okay, bye.
Maybe perfect pour will come to you. Perfect pour on the road. Could it happen?
Yeah, Visalia wants us.
Visalia, the captain, I think, has given up on us.
Screw those guys. He's, assholes.
Yeah, he's now grumpy kidding.
Oh, we were asked by the American Brewers Association.
We were.
To go to go down to Mission. They're having an event at Mission Brewing at the end of the month. So, I don't know. One of us can make it down there. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, but
uh-oh.
I don't know if you two can do it, but
I got the okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, well, maybe we are making it down there.
Yes, yes, let's go.
There's an American Brewers Association event at Mission Brewing this month. You might, maybe the perfect pour will be there.
Yay.
Yay.
So, thank you for listening. This has been the Perfect Pour, episode 29. Time for the Sunburns.